Dan is married to a successful doctor who may be practicing more than just medicine with his patients.
If John is going to deceive Constance, it's much better that it should be with someone we all know.
The Constant Wife by W. Somerset Maugham, starring Kate Burden, Stephen Collins, and John DeLancey. Next time on LA Theater Works.
That's this Sunday evening from 10 p.m. until midnight. LA Theater Works right here on KPFK.
This is Mumia Abu-Jamal, and you're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles and 98.7 Santa Barbara.
Cue the conga playing penguins.
Live at you. For real.
The program is about to begin.
I love that intro. Jeff Keller, KPFK 90.7 FM, the Poacher of Power, a day after Thanksgiving, my bad. Sometimes I get the two confused. I'm here with Lalo.
Hey, how's it going, Jeffrey?
I'm doing marvelous.
Are we still digesting or what?
Man, I eat healthy. I'm digesting the BS that's going on. That's what I'm digesting.
Oh, man, I can't digest it, man. I threw it back out.
Where it should be.
Oh my God, where it belongs. Yes. I hope everybody had a good holiday, is in the middle of having a good holiday. And thank you for sharing a little bit of it with us here at the Poacher Hour Power.
That's right, man. You know, after you had to deal with family and friends and chaos, we're going to give you a little laughter and humility.
Very little. Very little of both. Oh, man. Well, I hope you had a good day yesterday, Jeff. I got to spend it with we kind of split the family up. I got two kids, and my wife got the other kid, but in a different city.
Oh.
Because of football.
Come on now.
Yeah. And the game is on. The game is on right now, Jeffrey. Without divulging anything, I will say the game is on now and our team's winning.
Oh, well, that's a good thing.
Yeah. And very proud of my daughter. And she's the smallest quarterback that school has ever had. Which ain't saying much for that school. But anyway.
I love it, though.
Yeah, it's cool. I'm a football dad and a dance dad, but we'll just leave it at that.
Man, you know, it's football's an interesting game.
I hear you know a little bit about it.
Yes, you know, the strategies and the intricacies of the sport. It's like playing chess. A lot of people don't understand that. They just look at the TV and yell and go, "Why is he running in there? Why do you throw that ball?"
Wow, you just imitated my mother-in-law, who's like 96 and yells about 10 times louder than that. It's incredible. Yeah, no, it's, I mean, it is nice to know the rules sometimes. I'm a very casual sports fan, so, you know.
Like 90% of America is a casual.
Okay, good. Yeah, I don't feel so bad now.
Wow. Yeah, no, I was with my sister, and you know, we're natives, right? Like we're Choctaw. My grandmother's full Choctaw Indian.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we just have fish and veggies, that type of thing, and we call it Thanksgiving because they took the land, they took slaves from other land, they took the dignity, they took our names, so we call it Thanksgiving. Not
yeah.
Thanksgiving, because the only thing they gave us was a smallpox. So
yeah, we should call it Thanks for Nothing.
And then they're so cold that then they gave us, they made us take their last name, right? Native Americans. It's like, oh man, y'all are cold.
That's a terrible last name.
I'm sure we'll get a bunch of emails on this one, but hey, you know.
Oh, well. I didn't know Jeff Keller was Choctaw.
Yeah, my grandmother's full Choctaw. I'm like 20. That's why we had Redbone on. As soon as he walked in, he said, "What's your tribe?" And I said, "Choctaw, how you know?" And he goes, "Because your nose and your cheekbones." I'm like, oh, okay. There you go.
Oh, Jeff. Jeff won the lottery of life, man. He's got good cheekbones.
It's tough being me. Oh, my God. Well, I'm glad everybody is healthy with your family and everybody's prosperous and doing well. And,
yeah, I'm the only not healthy one. But we're going to take care of that soon. So
there you go.
Yeah, but it's nobody, none of your business. Why'd you keep drilling me, Jeff? Stop it. No, like I said, if you ever see a photo of me in the hospital, like doing a selfie, that's AI, because I would never, ever do that. I've been kidnapped. I'm living at the bottom of the ocean. You know, forget it. It's not me.
Yeah, so I've called you a couple times to check on you.
I would never do that. But, yeah, I do appreciate that. And it's, yeah, I'm going to be taking care of this thing and be recovering. And all I can tell people is, you know, go to laloalcaraz.com and check out the 2026 calendar, and that's all I think the FCC will let me say.
Well, you know, instead of having GoFundMe, you have calendars, and that's what how they can support you.
I didn't say that. Jeff Keller said that. Mr. Crooked FCC. Although you can fix that by giving the FCC $10 million, and they'll do
whatever you want. You know, anything. It's look, it's so scandalous right now. It's just terrible, right? It's just those scandalism, pay to play is running rapid.
Scandalism, Jeff. Thank you for that new word, scandalism.
Yes,
that is exactly what we're living through. And it's just we're numb to it, right?
Right.
It's like open bribery, corruption, and we're just numb to it. It's just like today the. Before I tell you what a great show we're going to have, it came out that the Trump phone, right? Like Trump Mobile was a new scam that the Trump sons were doing. For $500, you can get a $100 Chinese phone.
No.
Yeah. And I think it's gold ish. And yeah, for $500, you get a $100 phone. And you're automatically enrolled in the Suckers Club.
Wow, is that kind of like the gold basketball shoes and the watch and the Trump Bible?
Yeah, it's like we caught a gold, a comet made of gold out there, right? And and Trump puts it on everything, except it's fake paint from Home Depot.
Oh, man, kind of like the wing that he's rebuilding, right? It's just...
Yeah. Oh, real quick, I want to applaud the people that went out to protest at Home Depot. They went and lined up, I think at the Monrovia one, where a man was killed in traffic running away from ICE.
Oh, wow.
And they line up and buy 17-cent ice scrapers. They're kind of like spatulas or the, you know, like, I think, you know, whatever. We don't really need ice scrapers out here. So anyway, these 17-cent pieces of plastic, they line up, they buy them, and then they turn around, get it in the return line, and return them. And they clog up the Home Depot as a protest. And I think that to protest the ICE using their parking lots and locking stores up and catching all the brown people inside. I don't know what decade we're living in. This is ridiculous. Century, really.
It's crazy, right? I thought they were going after drug dealers, and I thought they were going after gang members. You know, I always thought that was Raider fans. I didn't know that they were.
Send your letters to Jeff Keller.
If Ice wants to impress me, go to a Raider game and try to wrestle some people.
True. I would pay to see that.
That's what I want to see.
Well, we ended up in football.
That's how I brought that back.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice. Hey, well, we got a great show. We've got our DC correspondent, Patricia Guadalupe, today. And we also have immigration attorney of renown, Meredith Brown, is going to be on with us later on. We got lots of immigration stuff to talk about. So, I don't know if Jeff, you're going to pull anybody out of your pocket, but now's the time.
I know. I'm thinking. Everybody seems to be out of town.
Gosh darn it. Damn vacation. Well, I think it's time to strike up the band, don't you?
Yes. Band, please.
Patricia Guadalupe, both your correspondent from Washington, D.C. Hail to Patricia, she comes to spread the cheese. She comes with all the gossip, she's here to spill the tea.
Hello, hello, hello. Speaking of ridiculous, here I am. While everyone is on vacation, I'm like, yeah, okay, Lalo, I'll be back on the show. happy post-Thanksgiving or however you want to call it for everybody out there. It is a holiday weekend, but craziness is not taking a holiday this week in these last few days in Washington because, of course, we've got the president saying all kinds of crazy stuff online in just the past couple of days. And I'll start with Wednesday, which is the day, Tuesday actually, when the president does the fun. It's supposed to be a fun tradition of pardoning a couple of turkeys. And what this tradition goes back many, many years. And these particular turkeys come from different farms around the country. They actually get to stay in a luxury suite with their handlers in a hotel near Washington, near the White House, rather. And they, they go through the fun ritual of not getting killed for Thanksgiving, and then they get them sent back. So this year, Trump being Trump decided to make it very political, and he went on a rant during the pardoning of the turkeys, which is, again, supposed to be a fun thing. And he starts railing against the governor and the mayor of Chicago, calling the mayor incompetent and the governor a fat slob. Right. Speaking of, the president being 6'3 and 175 pounds, of course, it was like something out of nowhere. The mayor and the governor of Illinois, if you've been following all of this immigration stuff, have pushed back on having National Guard troops in the city. And the president decided that he was going to go on a tirade during the pardoning of the of these two turkeys. It had nothing to do with anything. It was just like out of the blue. And then there was an unfortunate incident here in D.C. where a couple of National Guardsmen were shot basically point blank by just out of nowhere again.
Yeah, but the coverage on this has been terrible.
It really
has. What happened, actually happened?
Well,
what led up to it,
Well, they're still trying to figure out what happened was apparently this guy, an Afghan immigrant who, by the way, came into the country under Trump, who gave him asylum. The guy had been working with the CIA over in Afghanistan when the U.S. was over there. And so he was brought in under a program started by Biden, but it happened during the Trump's first administration and settled in Washington state. And then a few days ago, drove literally across the country to this part, to Washington, D.C., And there's still National Guards here. And so there was a couple of them just walking around the White House. And this guy came around the corner and shot them point blank. Unfortunately, one of them passed away yesterday on Thanksgiving. A terrible, absolutely terrible situation. And what did the president do? He went on another tirade and was, I don't know how he got these two mixed up, but he started to go on a tirade about Somalis, people from Somalia in the U.S., and basically saying that the great state of Minnesota has let in hundreds of thousands of refugees from Somalia, and they're completely taking over the great state of Minnesota, and their Somali gangs are roaming the streets. And then he went on to insult the governor, Governor Waltz, who you remember was the vice presidential nominee with Harris, with Kamala Harris. He called them seriously retarded and pardoned the word, and said that Representative Ilhan Omar, who was a member of Congress from Minnesota and also a Somali refugee, came here when she was a little girl. He said she probably came here illegally and has been always wrapped up in her swaddly hijab. I mean, just a complete insult to that community, which has nothing to do with Afghanistan, by the way. And then to add fire to the flame, gasoline to the fire, your favorite Nazi, Stephen Miller, goes on social media and says, every single immigrant here in this country, and I'm paraphrasing, but it's basically what he said, they don't assimilate. They bring their own problems and their own conditions, and they never assimilate. This is what Stephen Miller said. Mind you, unlike our friend here, he is not Native American. So anybody who is not Native American is an immigrant. Okay, so this is what this guy said. And then, you know, the response from Governor Waltz in Minnesota was to ask for the public release of President Trump's MRI, which he had a couple of weeks ago at the military hospital, his yearly physical, where they did an MRI on him. And he said at the time, everything's fine. But Governor Waltz said, after that ridiculous tirade, we need to see your MRI results, because clearly there's something mentally wrong with you. And this has been going just in the past couple of days during Thanksgiving, when things are supposed to be nice and calm and quiet around here. The amount of tirade on social media from the president. And then again, and then he went on to insult another reporter by which she was asking some questions about all of this. And he said, you're stupid because you're asking stupid questions. You're a stupid person. Your network is stupid. This is CBS News. Everybody here is really stupid. And then, of course, adding to the stupidity was FBI director right after the shooting where they caught the guy. He said, we're still looking for him. He's out there, which was not true. He was immediately caught. And then to add more of an issue to this, the president said, I'm stopping all asylum and visa requests from anybody from Afghanistan. And in fact, we're going to look at every single green card out there from everywhere, one by one. He said that today. It's just insane, the amount of craziness that's happening here.
I mean, this is a lot of Stephen Miller land, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because then at the same time that this is all going on, there was a report that came out in the New York Times that said one of those boats that was attacked by the defense, the ones that have been ordering, that the Defense Department says are cartel boats, where there were a couple of survivors in one of those boats, and apparently they were ordered to shoot them again to make sure that they were all killed.
Wow.
It's just all of this.
That's a war crime if we were at war.
Yeah, it sure is. It absolutely sure is. You're not, you know, you're not supposed to be doing, you're not even supposed to be shooting things in international waters anyway.
Right. It's international crime. That's murder one. He could be brought up on charges.
Yeah. I mean, it, you know, every single thing that has been happening is, you know, like you said, the whole Stephen Miller folks and the president who is just sounding more and more unhinged. There was a story in the, also in the New York Times a few days ago where they said, you know, that Trump is showing signs of aging and slowing down and just being tired, falling asleep. And we've seen those photos of him falling asleep during press conferences. And he went on an attack against the New York Times reporter, who also is female, again, calling her stupid, you're fat, you're, you don't know what you're saying, you know, insult after insult after insult. And of course, because Congress is out for the Thanksgiving break, you still have a Republican member of Congress from Texas complaining that there wasn't enough country music at the Macy's Thanksgiving parade.
I had to
insert something funny in there after all of that really heavy stuff. Like, really, you're going to be complaining about that?
Oh my God. I saw Indian country represented because they had native dancers, and that was amazing. That was beautiful.
And you know, they actually had five different country stars there. I mean, you know, and if you want more country music, then do your own damn parade in Tennessee. I mean, come on, this is New York City. You know, you don't have to have country music if you don't want it. The Macy's Thanksgiving Parade is an iconic parade, has been going on since the 1920s. The only time they didn't do it was during World War II. But for somebody who's not even from the city to complain about an iconic, fun thing, you know, it's almost like, you were showing It's a Wonderful Life and it's supposed to be in color. And how come I'm seeing it in black and white? I mean, you know, ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous stuff.
And who won Best Float? Was it Nora Explorer? Didn't that win Best Float?
Well, I was thinking the Puerto Rico one did. You know, there was a big Puerto Rican flag float. Well,
Jeff, what did you say? Dora the Explorer?
Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
Or Snoopy. Snoopy's always a real popular one.
Well, have you seen Wicked 2?
Not yet.
I swear it is just like the Trump administration.
Really?
Oh, when you're watching it, you have the animals self-deporting. Because they're the evil ones, that the odds have made them the evil ones. Michelle Yeoh, she is like Stephen Miller. She's planning everything, manipulating everything. And of course, it's the wizard, you know, Jeffrey Goldblum. He's like Trump. He's just being manipulated. He don't care as long as he's got all the power. I mean, it is crazy. I'm like, did they know this was going to happen?
Well, maybe that's why they waited a whole year between the first movie and this one to come out, so that people would make that connection. You know, that's an interesting way to put it, because, you know, the title is very appropriate for what's happening here. It's totally wicked here. And I'm not meaning it in a Boston way. If anybody knows, wicked in New England means pretty damn cool, but not that movie and not here. I mean, it is truly crazy wicked, you know. And in fact, there was a cartoon in the New Yorker magazine where they showed some people in the movie theater with the Wicked logo on the screen, and the caption says, "I'm really looking forward to seeing this movie about Boston." You know,
hilarious.
So it you know, and like I said, this is supposed to be a nice, quiet time, but no, you know, we've got even your favorite person on sports TV, Stephen Smith, saying some crackpot stuff about Mark Kelly, Senator Mark Kelly, who everybody knows is the former NASA astronaut, former Navy pilot, has more medals than you can imagine. He came out with a video with several other military folks, and we talked about this last week, where he said to all the military people out there, if you feel that your orders, that you're being given illegal orders, you are not obliged under military, in the code of military law conduct, to not obey them. And so there have been some controversy there, but the Pete Hegseth, you know, good old defense secretary, said to Senator Kelly, you don't even know how to put on the medals correctly. They're all in the wrong, in the wrong order. And then someone said, yeah, hello, Mr. Knucklehead. This is a mirror photo of the medals. They are on correctly. And then Stephen Smith, because apparently he wants to get kicked out of ESPN and get a job in the Trump administration, because what other reason would he have to talk about this? He said, I can't believe that Senator Kelly said the, you know, to not obey the commander in chief. I can't believe that. You know, this is someone who has never served a day in his life in the military.
This guy knows language and words. He's not.
He don't even know those things.
But you, come on. I mean, come it's on. Really clear to most people what they said, but
yeah.
On purpose. He's
Stephen
lying.
A. Smith's favorite vacation place is Cancun.
Yeah, well, that should tell you. That should tell you enough right there, folks.
That's all I'm saying. That's, I'm just going to let that right there.
And we all know what you mean by that, you know. So for him to start talking about something he knows nothing about is nothing new, of course.
No.
But for him to go after a senator from Arizona who served in the military for many, many years and then was a NASA astronaut, and I think the highest Stephen A. Smith has gone and is on a Ferris wheel, if that, you know. So for him to say, I can't believe he said that, missed the point completely. Senator Kelly and all the other senators who said this were talking about illegal orders, and those are written in the military code of justice. If you feel that the order that you received is illegal and is in fact illegal, you are not required to follow it. This is something that you learn in boot camp when you're in the military. And so for Smith to say this is just another distraction from not paying attention to what he should be doing, which is basketball. And even then, he's not that, you know, he doesn't know what he's talking about half the time.
Yeah, somebody's paying him ridiculous. A lot of money to be kind of like to the right now. Somebody, you know, somebody's paying him a lot of money for that.
Apparently, because there really wasn't any reason. It was like the whole thing with the Somalis. What was that? It came out of left field.
Right.
What is he talking about here? So, And this stuff has just in the last few days, folks, you know, with Congress out for Thanksgiving and with the December 1st coming up, which means that people on SNAP benefits are going to see their benefits go away because when Congress decided to reopen, they left that hanging. And Congress is not going to be back for another couple of weeks. So, you know, all of the things that people should be concerned about as members of Congress or people who have a platform, they're talking all kinds of nonsense while people are literally going to bed hungry, or their kids are. And here we are, one of the most developed countries in the entire world. This shouldn't be happening. We also have the expiration of the tax credits for Obamacare, so that your premiums will probably skyrocket in the next few weeks if you have health care under the Affordable Care Act, and it's not going to be affordable at all. But Congress decided that, you know, they didn't want to deal with that, and so they left for the Thanksgiving weekend, and so we are stuck here in the U.S. and here in Washington with a president who just goes on social media and all kinds of ridiculousness including, you know, some of his top people. And you know what he was doing today, or you know what he was doing on Thanksgiving, playing golf. You know what former President Obama was doing. He was at handing out food trays at a local shelter.
Like okay, veterans,
that tells
right?
you everything. Yeah, that should tell you everything you need to know about the kind of leadership that we have these days in Washington, basically non-existent. And, you know, we're supposed to be cheerful and stuff, but, you know, some of the stuff that's coming out of here with every time you think that you've heard it all, something new comes around, because no one could have ever predicted a few days ago that he would go on a tirade about Somalis when they haven't done anything. You know, and then to insult a member of Congress, oh, all she does is walk around with her hijab, you know. Oh, and we also have to remember, I forgot to mention this, that Lalo's favorite member of Congress, Marjorie Taylor Greene, is quitting effective January 5th. Mm-hmm. And she was one of the people who said that Ilhan Omar was not a real member of Congress because she was sworn in with a Quran. You know, so
well, you know, this is what's interesting to me. What does Trump have on her to make her
right?
want to step down? Because it's got to be something serious.
All her nasty secrets,
right? Right. Insider trading, something. You know, it's something that's going to lock her up. So she's got to say, you know what, I'm just going to step down.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was fascinating to see her on CNN and some of the other news shows talking about how she regretted some of the things that she said, a 360 about face on things. And everyone was like, I don't know, man, this sounds kind of fishy, because one of the reporters asked her, all of a sudden you feel bad, it's because they're coming after you. Well, yeah, that's a good question, but you know, I feel like, you know, I should reexamine some of the things that I'm thinking. And exactly what you were saying, that people started thinking, you know, what does the president have on her? And then for her to turn around and last week say, I'm quitting effective January 5th. She's not even waiting for her term to be up.
Right.
Like, I'm out of here.
Right. Yeah. Which is a red flag. It's like, dude, he's got something on you. And that's why you stepping down.
That's right. Yeah. Hey, before Patricia says I'm out of here again, let's come back with Patricia Guadalupe after a short break on the Pocho Hour of Power. And I hope we have the Speedy Gonzalez sports report. I don't know if he's on holiday break, but anyway, we'll come back with a few more minutes with Patricia Guadalupe out of Washington D.C. And I've got a breaking news item about a new person that Trump just pardoned. So it's not Esteban Zuhl. So. But we'll be right back with more Pocho Hour Power after this.
Oh, yeah.
For KPFK, this is Charlie Gonzalez. The Rams are on the road against the Carolina Panthers Sunday morning at 10. As the number one seed in the NFC playoff picture, the Rams control their own destiny. The Chargers host the Raiders at 1:25 on CBS as they look to keep pace with the AFC West leading Denver Broncos. On the court, the Lakers host the Dallas Mavericks tonight at 7 on Prime Video in the group play stage of the NBA Cup. The Clippers host the Memphis Grizzlies at 7 as well. Kickoff for tomorrow's annual Victory Bell matchup between UCLA and USC football is set for 4:30 on NBC. This has been Charlie Gonzalez with your KPFK High Speed Sports Update.
Hey, this is Lila Downs. You're on KPFK. You're listening to the Pocho Hour of Power.
It's why they call me.
Yeah, man. KPFK 90.7 FM. This is the Pocho Hour of Power with Jeff Keller and
Lalo Alcaraz. And that was a cool, I forgot about that station ID.
Yeah, that was real cool.
Lila Downs, I remember getting that. We need some more. I know too many famous people. So do you, Jeff. Got to get some cool station IDs here. But we're back with Patricia Guadalupe. And as I promised, this is according to Midas Touch. We've got some breaking news that Donald Trump will issue a full and complete pardon to former Honduran President Juan Orlando Hernandez, convicted in U.S. federal court last year and sentenced to 45 years in prison.
Yeah, that guy is one of the most corrupt people to come out of Central America, and that is saying a lot.
But he only conspired to traffic 400 tons of cocaine into the United States. So I guess they're going to hook him up for the Mar-a-Lago parties or something.
Well, maybe he thought it was kilos and it turned out to be tons, and that's why he thought he was railroaded. I mean,
he don't know the difference between kilos and tons. You know what I'm saying? You
know. Yeah, and that was just for Don Jr.'s party. So congratulations to Honduran President, a new member of Latinos for Trump.
They're sitting around going, how can we get some good coke? Because this coke we've been getting sucks.
Oh, but don't forget that Sunday is an election for the newest Honduran president. And the conservative is backed by Trump. And people from Honduras who live in the U.S. can vote for that. So you know that Trump is looking at the Honduran people in Miami who are here, you know, citizens who can vote, and even, you know, ones who are citizens of Honduras who can vote as expats. And so he's thinking, okay, well, if I give this guy a pardon, he was also of the conservative party, maybe that will help the other guy that I support, and that would help get my base of the Latinos for Trump up after he deported all of their families, you know?
Yeah.
The fix is so in. It's so in. If you can vote from America in Honduras, that's telling me the fix is in.
Well, that's why he did it today, you know, for the Friday before the Sunday national elections in Honduras. You know, he doesn't do anything except on social media without thinking, what is in it for me? What is in it for me? And for him, he's thinking, okay, maybe I'm not going to run for president again, but I need to make sure that Florida stays Republican. And after everybody has been deported left and right, his numbers are way, way down in the Latino community in Florida, but he still has a pretty substantial amount of people in the Latino community who support him and support strong men like him and like the folks running Honduras.
And I'm sure a substantial amount of money from a Honduran individual went into Trump's crypto. I'm sure that happened.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I mean, it's always the money.
Yes.
Now, Deep Throat said that many, many years ago.
Yes.
Follow the money. It's always about the money. And Miami is flush with all kinds of corruption money from Venice, from Honduras, from Guatemala, from all over the world, because Florida's laws are pretty lax in a lot of things, including where you can park your money. It's almost like putting them in the Cayman Islands. And so you know that there's a ton of money out there. And I'm sure some of it went to the Trump people. Of course they did.
Yep.
Because remember that he never divested from anything that he did when he ran for president. Jimmy Carter sold his peanut farm in order to run for president so there wouldn't be a conflict of interest.
Not the peanut farm?
Yeah, he did. And so there wouldn't even be an appearance of a conflict of interest. But Trump has not done that at all, and neither have a bunch of his cabinet officers, including the secretary, the Commerce Secretary Lutnick, whose sons run one of the biggest brokerage firms in the country with a satellite office dedicated solely to cryptocurrency in El Salvador. So there is a ton of money out there, and it's all falling into just the hands of a few people and their lackeys. And you can rest assured that that includes some of the top officials in some of these Latin American countries, including Honduras. So it was there was a method to that pardon today, most definitely.
Now, are you seeing a crack in the orange wall at all? Because it seems like things are starting to just kind of crumble a little bit.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, the government shutdown didn't help. It didn't help that they took the House Speaker a long time to finally swear in Adelita Grijalva, because the whole reasoning behind it, everybody knew that that was a bunch of baloney, where he said, I have to wait until the government comes back, which is not true. We haven't heard much lately because Congress is sort of, you know, everyone's sort of taking it easy during Thanksgiving. And when Congress comes back, you better believe they're going to continue with that. And you have Democrats gearing up to wait for the complete and unedited, unredacted look at the Epstein files. That has not gone away. And that is definitely a big crack in the orange wall. And a big crack, like I just mentioned, in the Latino community, where people are looking at that and saying, you know, oh my God, they're taking away my families. Well, you know, people, that you were told this was going to happen. And so his support has gone way down, and people have noticed prices have not gone down, but his support most definitely has.
Yeah, it's crazy the way that he puts it out there, the false propaganda, right? The propaganda he puts out there, it's the lowest the prices have been, even for Thanksgiving, and they're lying to you, manipulating you, and people are starting to fight back now. They're like, no, dude, I go to the grocery store, and guess what? The prices are higher.
Oh, yeah. And he says, well, all of the products for Thanksgiving is actually lower. And he did a comparison with a grocery bill from last year that had more items on it than this year. Well, of course, it's going to be cheaper if you buy less, you know, come on. he still has a significant amount of support, but it is cracking, especially, you know, like we've talked about before, in areas, red areas, that support him, but rely on these social programs like SNAP and Medicaid and all these other places where, guess what? They're taking away my food stamps. Well, who's doing that? So you can most definitely see that in places where there's a lot of dependency on these social programs, where it happens that there are a lot of Republicans, and you saw the shellacking that the Republicans went through just a few weeks ago in the November election that a lot of people are hoping is going to be a precursor to the midterms next year.
Well, I just, I hope rats can't swim. I just hope they can't swim. That's all. Well, Patricia, thank you so much for joining us here on Pocho Hour Power, and for vamping a little extra for us. We really do appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And we will see you next time here on the Pocho Hour Power.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
Hey, thank you. There she goes, Patricia Guadalupe. Now it's time. Let's just join our next guest, who is Meredith Brown, immigration attorney of renown. Meredith, welcome back to the Pocho Hour Power. Thank you for joining us on this holiday weekend. I know you're at your office anyway, working.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's what it's about. Yeah, I have to. But no, it's okay. I love what I do. We're working on motions to reopen, prepping for court next week, so there's always something to do. But yeah, we missed you last time, Lalo.
Yeah, I had never had two migraines in a row, one day after another, and I had the bail, and I apologize, but I just
had to go. Administration will do that to you.
Something's killing me. because I have my theory as I've just been working a little too hard. So, but Meredith, speaking of working hard, I mean, this is a crazy, must be a crazy period for you, not just because the amount of work, but also do they keep trying to change everything up, like law-wise?
Yeah, I mean, one thing they're trying to do is to kind of look at refugee status of people, in particular now Afghanistanis, and they are trying to detain as many people as they can, even people who have been here for 20, 30 years. And so what happens is that there's class action litigation that tries to shut that down. We have to wait. The Supreme Court jumps in. They say, nah, just leave it. Let Trump do what he wants to do. And then finally, when it's to the actual merits of the case with the federal courts, we usually are winning. For example, we're now people have a right to have bond hearing to get out of detention. There was a period very recently where the Trump administration was arguing that no, they don't. But unfortunately, we have to go to federal court to get that clarified. So that's a victory, but it's just people go through a lot of anguish during that period of time. So, yeah, it's challenging.
I have a question about that. So this ruling counts for not just since the ruling's done, but for everybody that's been detained during these raids, or am I confused? Like everyone now can, it's just clarified that everyone has a right to a bond hearing, right?
Yeah, and I won't get into the weeds, but people who are quote unquote seeking admission into the United States sometimes cannot have a right to bond, but basically the administration was saying everybody that's here, even if they entered, they were not detected by anyone, you know, eventually they're going to seek admission. So let's just apply this rule to them when it really doesn't by the plain language of the statute. So the good news is that people on the whole should have a right to a bond hearing. If they don't, then we're doing what's called habeas corpus petitions, where people can be brought to a federal judge or magistrate to basically have the right to either be freed directly or have the right to bond. But now the immigration judges are understanding that we're back to normal, where people can show they're not a flight risk and they're not a danger to themselves or to their community, and they can have a right to have a bond posted so they can be out, have access to more lawyers. Because a lot of attorneys don't want to do detained work because it's kind of draining and very difficult. They're in Adelanto, they're in, you know, faraway places, and yeah, it's really hard to organize their defense when they're detained.
Wow. I mean, what a challenging period just to have to, this moving landscape for you and for all attorneys. What a drag. What other things have you found that are like moving targets or things that are changing too much?
Well, the main thing is for us, people who are getting detained when they go to their interviews, say they're married to a U.S. citizen and they entered on a visa, they overstayed the visa, and then they have the right to get their green card, notwithstanding their overstay. So I think one of the things we have to be really careful about is if a person is in that situation where they were here on a student visa and they overstayed, or a visitor visa, and they happen to get married to a U.S. citizen, usually that's not a big deal. But now they're beginning to change the rules midstream and detaining folks for that. And I have not seen it too much in Los Angeles, where ICE is in the immigration courtrooms. I know that there's a lot of litigation around that, to have a buffer zone where people won't be so afraid to go to their immigration court hearing. So that's good news. And the other good news is, in general, with the federal courts, not so much with the Supreme Court, but the federal courts, we are winning a lot of basic cases. Like, for example, like I mentioned, the right to be released if somebody is detained for a certain amount of time. We're also winning, at least through California, where ICE has to show their face and show their identification. I know that there was a protest, which is not necessarily in my field, but I love it. They were protesting at Home Depot with some of the leadership, right? Because, you know, they could shut down this easy access that ICE has to their parking lots and their private property, but they're just kind of throwing at the leadership of Home Depot saying, well, there's not much we can do. But obviously, Home Depot has been a real target of ICE. And
I mean, they have been locking the stores up so that ICE can go through every person that's locked inside.
What?
How is that legal? You're capturing me. You're keeping me.
That's kidnapping.
Right? The double kidnapping.
Yeah, that's right. And I didn't hear that. Usually you lock the door to keep ICE out, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's really sick. They really should have a warrant. It has to be specific to go in. If they want to review employment documentation, they have to give certain notice to the employer. And their rules, and that's the problem with this administration. They're not following the rules. They're just, you know, they think they can get away with it. What they can in certain cases. But we have to keep on pushing back. Like you said, they should have a warrant if they're going to be entering into the Home Depot. And that's great litigation to basically sue Home Depot for what they're doing, because that's kidnapping.
Yeah, you know,
that's false imprisonment.
Yeah, it's got to be tough for you, because it seems like the procedures and the laws that you knew before are changing every day the way things used to be done. And so it's got to be tough to stay on top of that stuff.
Yeah, but again, the good news is we have a great community of fighters, people that have been doing immigration for many, many years. And then there's people that have done criminal defense as well to help really vacate some of these horrible convictions from the past that were false. A lot of people just plea bargain to not be detained. So that's another kind of area of practice. And then, of course, family law for the minors that are trying to get their paperwork through a special immigrant juvenile status. And the really, again, I don't like to just harp on the negative, because I think this whole experience of the Trump administration has really honed our skills. It's really taught us to be more disciplined with our time and with our efforts and our resources. We have to pick our battles very carefully. And we have to keep on keeping on. I mean, we're still winning a lot of cases, the basic citizenship cases, immigration through family members. And we have to kind of, in a certain sense, not get distracted by the nonsense that's coming out of the White House. I mean, but Patricia was mentioning some of these tweets by the president. Really, I mean, it's hard to ignore, but especially as an immigration defense lawyer, we have to really focus on the job at hand and help as many people as we can, as best as we can, right?
Yeah, I mean, he says that stuff, and I mean, immigration is in his purview, right, as the executive, right? But I mean, you can't just wave your wand and have the thing change overnight or by the minute, right? There's a process, no? Or
right, and that's why he's getting sued so often and losing, right, in federal court, because he cannot, like they say, no kings. He can't be above the judicial department, the Justice Department, the court system, and as well as Congress. I mean, Congress is pathetic, but our hope is hopefully we have less than a year now before elections. So hopefully we'll get a little bit more balance and oversight, because right now there's just basically no oversight by the congressional branch.
Nope.
I'd like to ask, before we have to go, about the immigration story, the ICE story of the week, which was Carolyn Leavitt, the spokesperson for Trump's sister-in-law or cousin-in-law, she was an ex-sister-in-law, right, that got detained by ICE and deported, I think. What do you know about that situation? It's messy.
I heard but I'm sure her response is that the law is thicker than blood. But, you know, it's just nonsense that really they're casting the net so wide that even people, family members among them, is being caught up. And I think the most important thing, aside from that, is that people who are being detained in more than 90% of the cases do not have a serious criminal record, or even more than 95% is what I heard. So we have to push back on that narrative. People are here working with dignity. They're contributing to the U.S. economy. And mark my words, next year is the economy is going to start crashing down if they continue to incarcerate, kidnap, and deport people because of the color of their skin or because they're working in certain sectors or because they speak Spanish. I mean, that has to stop, and we have to push back. We have to resist. And people have to know their rights, right?
And, and that's why the meat industry is suffering, and Trump and them don't want to report on it, is because they can't find people to work in the factories because they've deported everyone, and now they have no one to work and get the meat prepared and get it out of there. But Trump don't want to talk about that. But that's one of the major problems.
And that with the tariffs, and that with just the unease of the consumer. I mean, consumer confidence is at an all-time low right now. And yeah, you're right. Not just meat, but we're talking construction. Yes. We're talking hospitality, agriculture. There's just these huge swaths of the U.S. economy. And lots of people that were with work permits, like the TPS folk, they're losing their status. Salvadorans are probably going to be next year to lose their TPS status. And DACA kids are also very nervous about what's going to happen. So we just, again, we have to continue to organize. We have to help one another. And people just have to be very aware of their surroundings, in particular around Home Depot, right? I mean, or boycott it altogether. But
and I think you should really be on the lookout if you are Carolyn Leavitt's sister-in-law. So I would like to say that it's even fishier. I think that they probably called ICE tip line because this guy, the ex-husband, married this young woman from Brazil who came here as a child, won $1 million in like DraftKings and then split up with her.
What?
Yes, this is what he didn't win the lottery. He won money on DraftKings and then married a lady that looks just like his sister, but anyway, that's a whole nother topic. Ooh. But and then they somehow got this lady swept up with the ICE raid, and now that little boy doesn't have a mom.
They're like,
and
oh, just, you won half.
If yeah, it's all super convenient and bizarre, and I wouldn't trust these people, you know, as far as I could throw Trump, which is not very far.
Well, any man that cheats against himself playing golf, you can't trust him.
Yeah. He's won 38 titles, Jeff. Come on.
You know what he does is anytime he opens up a golf course, he plays the first round by himself and calls that a victory in a tournament.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow. Crazy. I don't know. I think there's a class, should be a class action lawsuit against that.
There you go. Look, if we can survive this, we'll survive anything. Just want to thank you guys for all the incredible work that you do. Thank you so much for your humor, for your drawings, for your art. It's just, you know, it's really uplifting to all of us.
Oh, thank you. Jeff's drawings are awesome.
Thank you. My stick, man, nobody do it better. I'm telling you right now.
Well, Meredith Brown, we look forward to having you back and talking more on this ever-changing landscape of immigration law. We sympathize.
Yes.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your support.
Oh, yeah, you got it. And Jeff's going to do a special portrait of you.
He laughs.
Hey. You can do some things with AI. That's all I'm saying.
Get out of here, man. Hey, Meredith Brown, thank you so much. How can people get a hold of you or look you up, or do you even want that?
No, of course. It's infolegal.net. Infolegal.net.
All right. Infolegal. Or infolegal.
Por eso.
Net.
There you go.
All right. Meredith Brown, thank you for joining us on the Pocho Hour Power. We'll see you next time.
That's great. Thank you. Take care.
Thank you, Meredith.
All right. Well, we had another great Pocho Hour Power. I'm required by law to say that, Jeff.
Yes, we are.
And I would like to thank Meredith Brown, immigration attorney of renown, Patricia Guadalupe, our Washington, D.C. correspondent. I'd like to thank you, Jeffrey Keller.
Thank you. And I'm going to thank you. But remember, Saturday, I'll be at the Comedy Chateau, 8 o'clock. Say my name, you get in free. And if you want to hit me up online, it's my mom's wife.
All right. That's right. He lives at the Comedy Chateau, I heard. And I'd like to thank Jaime Casillas for our theme song. I would like to thank Gary Baca, our producer, the 5G, who's running.